Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, welcome to another episode of the Video Games Now podcast. My name's Rodney, and joined by Skype is Cole.
Joined by Skype.
How you doing, Cole?
I'm doing really good. I'm excited for today.
Yeah, today we're going to talk about some RTS games, and for you nubs out there, real-time strategy. Because you know what? There's all these gaming analogies thrown out, and no one actually knows what it means until you Google it.
I know. I didn't know RTS until, like, recently.
Or RNG. That was one. I Will's like, I have no idea what RNG actually means, and I just, like, literally came to the conclusion. I was like, oh, it's a random number generator. He's like, oh my god, that makes so much sense. I'm like, yeah.
I feel like I've heard that, but I didn't know what it meant when you said it either.
Well, yeah, because it's a random thing, it's computing numbers, right? So it'll randomly generate a number, and then whatever that number is will give you whatever odds, right?
I would rather say RNG than randomly generated numbers.
I know, a random number generator or whatever, yeah. Anyways, okay, back on topic here, we're going to talk about RTS coming up right now. Right now. So, RTS, I've played not a whole lot of RTS in my day, but I definitely played my share of Command & Conquer and those type of games. But, Cole, you seem to be the expert on this topic here.
Yeah, I love RTSs. I feel like you're in the middle ground where you either love RTSs and you play a bunch of them, or it's not your game and you don't like it. Like, I know a ton of people don't like turn-based or slower-moving games, which RTSs can sometimes be, but if you find the right one, it can be super high-paced, really get your heart pounding and your fingers moving, so I love them. I'm such a big fan.
Yeah, I'm more of a fan of turn-based, actually, myself, because it gives me more time to kind of think out my strategy. My RTS strategy skills are just awful, like, I'm not going to lie. Like, Command & Conquer, I would just rage if, like, my strategy got thwarted by the computer or by a player.
Yeah, I the first RTS I played was Age of Empires, the first one, and it was actually my friend of mine, his dad played it all the time, so I'd go over to his house and his dad would be playing, and I was like, what is this game? It's so good. And then I asked my grandma for Age of Empires 2, and she got me the Golden Conquerors Edition for Christmas the next year, and I mean, I was like a little kid, and I lost it. That was like one of the best games ever, but being a little kid and playing a game like that, like Age of Empires, there's so much strategy to it. There's tons of guys on YouTube who like talk about the strategy and talk about different tactics and stuff you can do, and I was so bad. I still am really bad. I try to learn some of these tactics, but it's so difficult and so complex that actually that kind of makes me sad about at Age of Empires, is because in order to be really good and play online, you have to be really, really good at it, or you just lose really bad. It's like StarCraft or StarCraft 2.
Yeah, I'm just like, you looking at the stats on the internet here, people make like a ridiculous amount of money playing StarCraft professionally. And the best player in the world, I think, is a female right now, which is awesome. Female gamers unite. And I'm a dude and I'm saying that, so female gamers unite.
Yeah, they're gonna keep that.
Yeah. Hashtag female gamers unite. But yeah, StarCraft is huge, like huge amount of people playing that game, and a lot of money coming out. I can't remember what her name, but she's making like $270,000 a year or something like that in tournaments. Playing StarCraft.
StarCraft is where, because StarCraft is considered a sport, I think, in Korea. I think it's, I don't want to be mistaken, but the inputs that you do, you can do up to 6 inputs a second. So trying to type out like a 6-letter word every single second for how long do games last for, like half an hour to an hour. It's crazy. The athleticism that those guys have just in their hands is insane. So good on anybody who plays it professionally, because you have to be pretty good.
Yeah, I'm just looking up Korea's national sport, and I'm actually disappointed that it's not StarCraft. but yeah, no, it's Taekwondo, if anyone's wondering. But
there you go. I didn't know that.
I mean, and then right under that, I'm sure, is StarCraft, because them Koreans are really good.
Oh, they're crazy. They have, it's like a whole different world out there. You know, it's a very cultural too. I don't know. It's crazy.
Yeah, not like here. There's like the segregated group of gamers and then the non-gamers, and they're like, "Oh, you play video games?" It's like, yeah, man. It's a way of life.
It's a way of life. It's the way my fingers move and my bank accounts fill up.
I don't know, man. It keeps my brain sharp too. Like when I go out and do regular things like grocery shop, I'll be like, "Ugh!" I'll be on point because I play RTS games sometimes.
What's the quickest, fastest, most efficient way to do things? I do the same thing, but last time I went grocery shopping, man, it was an absolute disaster. Just the last time. Usually I'm pretty good and I'm on the ball, but I wasn't very good last time.
Anytime I go to the grocery store and it's a complete and utter failure, usually there's somebody else holding the reins on that, and I'm just a follower, and I'm like, oh, it's all going to crap because I'm not the leader.
This one was all me. I was trying to be efficient, but I was not. I had my list on my phone, and I had two shopping bags in each hand, and I was like dropping stuff and falling all over the place, just trying to be efficient. So my RTS skills didn't travel over. I was saying that I'm always looking for new RTS games to play. Like, you play one for a little while and you get a taste and you want to try something new. So I just have a list of RTS games that I've really enjoyed in case people are looking for something new to play or and want some ideas of a few things. So I don't know if you want to jump into that or if you have any.
Yeah, sure. Let's do that. I need a new RTS game to play and stop playing Clash of Clans, which we'll get to later.
Oh yeah, the mobile one. So if you haven't played Stronghold, you like RTSs, then you're crazy. Stronghold is like still probably one of the best RTS I've ever played. Stronghold Crusader is top of the line, top art. It's a little bit old now. I wonder, I have the, I, you guys can't see it, but I have my disc copy of it. And
loaded on Windows 98.
What's that?
You loaded on Windows 98, it looks pretty old.
Oh yeah, but I mean, they have the remastered edition on Steam. Like, you can get this one on Steam. You can get the original Stronghold, which is really good. I didn't play a ton of Stronghold 2. They changed the whole Stronghold platform. It used to play, it's so hard to explain the way they changed it. It used to be very open world, and everything was very realistic. So you have your setting, and you start with your little castle, and you build your houses for population, and then your food and your weapons and everything like that. And then they made a jump where you now have like territories. So you each have your own territory, and you have to like conquer other people's territories, and you go up in rank. Like, you start as a peasant, and then you move up to an earl, and all of the different statues before you actually can become king. And you have to earn like following and people's alliances and stuff. So they, which I think is a good idea, but I just loved how simple and rewarding the first ones were. So I didn't play a lot of Stronghold Crusader 2 because of how much it changed. I love the original so much. So I think you should check out the original before you jump and get the second one. Because usually games, they get better as like the second one comes out, and the next one they improve on it. But it changed so much that I think you should check out the original.
This game sounds like the basic premise for Shadow of War and Shadow of Mordor.
Yeah, it's kind of, it's rather than one, I guess you are kind of one person, and you gain trust and followers, but you kind of do that a little bit in the original one, where you build like a church, or you build flowers or playgrounds and stuff to gain the trust of your followers, and then you can tax them more because they're more happy with stuff you've given them, so that they'll pay you more. But you can also build like gallows and torture equipment and stuff, and then they don't like that, but then you won't have people leaving your town or abandoning you for other things because they fear you. So there's different ways you can play. I usually like to play the nice guy because you get way more money playing that way.
Yeah, I did that in Fable 3 when you had to save the kingdom or whatever. I just like bought all the houses and everyone, yep. And then I was just like, hey, yeah, just give me all the money. It's all going to a good cause. Unlike the actual government, they're just like, yeah, we'll take all your money and then we'll, you know, increase our pensions.
Oh man, that could be a whole topic on its own.
Yeah. Different
for all
podcast.
Of our Canadian listeners out there.
Yeah. Different podcast, which we don't currently have.
Yeah.
Actually, you know what?
Podcast.
I kind of want to, you know, once we get this going, to start a movie podcast, and like movies now. And get anime. I have another one I used to do called Anime Now, but I stopped doing that because I ran out of, you know, time to do it. So, but yeah, I might revive that maybe. So
that'd be cool. Yeah. I've been trying to watch a little bit more anime recently, so I'd be down for that.
I just started watching. I put One Piece down for a long time because I just can't do like one episode a week, and it's like there's basically no plot development. It's like, you know, progresses like it's like 5 minutes of actual things that progress the plot forward, and it's like the rest is filler. It's like I can't do that. So
there's so much filler. Apparently the writer says he's going to keep it going for another like 900 episodes or something like
that. Oh my god,
he wants to keep milking it.
But if he dies, like this series is screwed. Like,
oh yeah,
because he's got it all in his head for sure.
Hopefully he's got to write it down somewhere and like
in a safe or something. Journal. Yeah. All right. Anyways,
speaking
of
milking things for money, another one of my favorites. You might be confused by my reference, but I'll explain. But one of my other favorite RTSs ever was the Lord of the Rings Battle for Middle-earth. And I say milking for money because of the hobbits and splitting into three movies. But again, another topic for another time. But Battle for Middle-earth was. When I was playing Age of Empires as a little kid, Lord of the Rings came out. I was crazy about it. Then I saw that they had an RTS, and I was like, oh man, I want to get this RTS. So I actually ordered it. It was one of the first things I ever ordered off Amazon when Amazon first started. And I remember it coming in the mail, and I went to my mailbox to look for it, and all they gave me was a little key. And I went home, and I wasn't sure what the key was for. And then I realized that larger packages have to go into the bottom part of a mailbox. So I walked back to the mailbox, and I opened it up, and the box was there. And I brought it home, and I opened it up. And, this game is really, really fun RTS. Actually, it's really hard to get a hold of. I've been trying to find the second one. I have a copy of the second one right here. I bought this off of eBay or Craigslist. And it actually didn't come with all the discs in it. It only came with 3 out of the 6 discs because, you know, in bigger games back then, you had to put in, like, all these downloading discs. So I don't actually have it for computer. I only have it for Xbox. And then it's not – you can't backwards compatible it to Xbox One, which really sucks. But it's such a fun, simple RTS again. Like, you kind of start with your map. You have your kingdom. You can't build anything outside your kingdom, and you have certain slots where you can build buildings. So you have, like, and then you have different sizes. So you have, like, a 3-building kingdom or a 6-building kingdom or, like, a 9 or 10-building kingdom, and then you have walls around it, and you can siege other people's walls. So it's not... Some RTSs can get big and messy where you've got all this stuff going on all this different places, but this is kind of... Everybody has their own spot. And you build up your army and you attack other people's spots and take over. So it's nice and crisp and compact, which I really liked about it. And you can have huge armies with all the different, like, Oliphants and Monokil and Mordor had, like, trolls and orcs and elves. So there's everything. Ents, too. It's such a good clash of troops.
Yeah, and I felt really good playing that game, especially because it came out around the time where... the movies were huge. The original Lord of the Rings movies were huge. So you'd go and marathon those, and then you're like, man, I just want to like lead an orc army or something. And then yeah, you jump on this, and then it just fulfilled all your hopes and dreams.
Exactly. Oh, it's it's good. And then you could do the Battle of Helm's Deep or Minas Tirith, which is a lot of fun. And they have tons and tons of maps that you could play on, and you could have up to 8 people. In the first one, you could have up to 8 people. I think on the PC version, you could have up to 12 or something like that. It's like a ridiculous amount. But on the Xbox, you can only have 4, which sucks because I was like, I want more. And in the second one, if you can get your hands on Battle for Middle-Earth 2, and if you can figure it out, it's so much fun. It added a lot more freedom, where I like the tight, compact settlements of the first one, but this one you can actually expand your territories and free build anywhere, so you can build your own walls and your own turrets on the walls, and then you can build your kingdom how you want, rather than them having like a template for you,
right? Yeah,
which is it was a nice change, and I think I don't know. I love them both. Just the way it's laid out is very it's just very crisp and clean for the game. And they were trying to make a third one, and there's people who are trying to like petition for a third one, but it just doesn't look like it's gonna happen, which sucks.
Yeah, they released that game back in the day when you had to release a finished game and you couldn't patch stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
They actually had one DLC for the second one, which was Men of the North DLC, which added a lot of cool stuff for Battle for Middle-Earth 2. So, but yeah, it was a complete game with a bunch of different factions and everything you choose from. So, and those are two good ones. And I was going to talk about this one too, unless you have anything else to add.
Well, I was going to say, I'm actually really shocked this game was really, really good because it was made by EA Games, but... bring out the Bergen Heel. Yeah,
they had some good games back in the day,
yeah, for sure. But no, they're kind of lacking now, I feel.
Yeah, I think hopefully Battlefront 2 shocked them a little bit enough to get back on board. And I think other developers saw that and don't want to fall in the same trap.
What was that other game they released like a year or so or two ago that was like not done? That was like a beta at best.
I know which one you're talking about, but I can't remember.
I can't remember. Yeah, I'm shocked they didn't learn their lesson then.
If you Google crappy EA releases, I'm sure you'll find a bunch of stuff.
I'll have to wade through the list. But here we go.
But this is a really good one. So definitely check out Stronghold Crusader and Battle for Middle-Earth 1 or 2. If Stronghold, before Crusader, like the very first Stronghold game was just called Stronghold. It's really fun, but I feel like Stronghold Crusader just took what was really fun and good about Stronghold and just maximized it, because they added in so much more cool stuff and the whole other because it was very medieval English history in the original Stronghold, but then they added in the Arabian side with Stronghold Crusader, and it just opened up a whole new option for factions and people. So those are two a lot of fun games you can check out.
And I found it was Mass Effect Andromeda.
Oh yeah. Hello. I only played Mass Effect 1 and 2, and everybody was like, oh, you gotta finish the third one to finish the trilogy, and it's really fun, but I never ended up getting around to it.
No. I can't remember if I said this on the air or not. I know we talked about it off the air, but yeah, I played a lot of Command & Conquer back in the day for the 64. Like, I played ridiculous amount of Command & Conquer. And I've played the sequels too on PC. The Rage of it's escaping me. Rage of Nod or something like that. The Revenge of Nod or something like that. Yeah. Anyways, yeah. The Revenge of Cain, that's what it was, sorry. The Revenge of Cain. Yeah, that was the third one. Those games are a lot of fun, but and then you know what, actually I was gonna bring up Halo Wars as well, because when I played Halo Wars 2, I played that at PAX West. A couple years ago, before it got released, and I just got the same feeling as Command & Conquer. It just had this, it almost copy and pasted it a little bit, but just got reskinned as Halo. But,
yeah, since I loved RTSs, I definitely jumped on the Halo Wars wagon, and I liked the first one. I feel like it was missing something. Sometimes when you play an RTS, and it just feels like it's missing something. There's either ones that just hit it right on the nose, and you just fall in love with it, and it's so much fun. Or you just feel like you play it for a little bit and you're like, this is good, but I don't know, there's something missing. And I felt like there was something missing in Halo Wars, which is why I didn't get Halo Wars 2. I was like, oh, maybe they figured it out with Halo Wars 2. Or maybe they didn't, and I didn't want to spend like $60 on something that they didn't figure out. So hearing you say that, it just kind of feels like Command and Conquer makes me like, whew, I'm glad I...
Yeah, after I played the demo at PAX for Halo Wars 2, I downloaded with Xbox Live Gold Halo Wars 1 and played through it. And yeah, you know what? I had to kind of force myself to finish it, honestly. And I didn't feel any different from Halo Wars 2, personally.
Yeah. I want to feel like I outsmarted the enemy, or I want to feel like my strategy or my tactics worked and I pulled something off. Where in Halo Wars, I just feel like you just kind of build the best troop and then you save up enough money to do like a laser blast and that's it. And you just kind of like blast whatever troops they had and then you just walk in. The you can get to a point where they just have big stalemates in games, and I want to I feel like there should always be some type of strategy you can do, and I feel like Halo Wars just didn't have that advanced strategy where, like, Stronghold, you know, you can have your so many different troops, your like front men and your archers and your siege equipment, but you can also have your cavalry, your horse troops, so you can attack in different ways, like keep your siege equipment back and protect it with your cavalry, but send in your troops and your archers to take out people on their walls or dismantle their siege work. I don't know, I just feel like you can both on defending and attacking side have so much different strategies you can do, like double building your wall and the amount of towers you build and stuff, where it didn't really have that in Halo.
I was just looking up the multiplayer because I didn't really play obviously couldn't play the multiplayer for Halo Wars 1 because I played it like, you know, 10 years after, it got released in 2009. Yeah, I'm from the future, guys. yeah, I played it like almost 10 years after it was released, so obviously there's no multiplayer anymore, so. I'm wondering how that would be for Halo Wars 2, though, now that I'm thinking about it, because playing against a computer and playing against a person obviously are completely different beasts, and it might be even a little bit more enjoyable if you're playing against another player.
Yeah, I think if you guys have played Halo Wars and haven't played Battle for Middle-Earth, the first one, is you know in Halo Wars you have your command base and you can only build certain things in each slot on your command base? That's how Battle for Middle-Earth was, where you had those slots and you can only build certain buildings on those slots. So you could either focus on resources or focus on defense and... But you couldn't build like a wall or anything like that. Like if you're playing online, it just depends on who has better troops. It doesn't matter on how you build your base. So yeah, I don't know how much of an advantage or how much of a disadvantage you'd have in playing online with people in Halo.
Well, if I recall correctly, you can move your base in Halo Wars. Like you can pack it up and
you can pack it up and fly it.
Yeah. So that's kind of cool, because going back to Command & Conquer, it's like, do I really want to push A and unfold my factory? Right?
Yeah.
So, oh man, I love Command. I love the Commando dude that had a couple of good one-liners in the 64 version. You know the guy I've talked about, the red hair guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was cool. But
It's funny, when I was a kid, and I used to go to the video store, Video Station, and I used to rent N64 games from Video Station. And my mom wouldn't let me rent anything that was rated T or M, or so I'd always want to rent Conker's Bad Fur Day,
right?
Because I saw there was like the squirrel, and I was like, oh, it's like Donkey Kong or whatever. My mom was like, no, you can't have that. And another one I wanted to always rent was Command and Conquer for the N64, but my mom never let me rent it because it was rated T, and I was just a youngin. So
right.
I didn't play it for the 64, but I did play it for the PC. And I've seen gameplay for the 64, and a friend of mine, you know, we have that one friend on Steam who always plays like the same game and he like never talks to anybody. You just see him like, oh, there's the guy playing that same game again. Yeah. I have my friend who only plays Command and Conquer. It's just like he comes on and it's just playing Command and Conquer.
Yeah. I like how I'm going to softly bash our moms. They like had absolutely zero idea of what the game was about. They just like made a judgment of what the title was or the rating. And they're like, yeah, no.
Yeah,
sorry. Conquer's Bad Fur Day totally made the right call by being like, yeah, no, you can't play that. But Command and Conquer wasn't that bad.
The other one I was going to suggest was Kohan, Immortal Sovereigns. This game I kind of found by accident, just like looking at the store when I was younger and just picking it up. And it was surprisingly a really fun strategy game. And I know they have the second one. I haven't played the second one, but it's on Steam. You spell it K-O-H-A-N. And then they have one and two. But I played a lot of one. And it's pretty... it feels like a little bit of a lower quality strategy game, but done right. Like I said before, there's some games that hit it and they do really well, and then some games that you feel like it's missing something. This is a game where at first look you feel like, oh man, it's going to be missing something. But once you kind of dive into it and play it a lot more, there's so much to it, and there's so many cool factions, and you can have like huge maps and huge battles. Even for a game that's a lot older, there was so much going for it. And even I really like in strategy games the world. Like there's so much that can come with, sure, your castle and your troops, but what kind of world is the game set in? And the Kohan world was really cool. Like lots of monsters running around the field that just kind of belonged to no one, and there was dragons and giant trolls and stuff that you could fight and raid their caves for gold and stuff to get an upper hand on somebody else. So I love the fact that you could do that in these games. So that's the one thing. The world in Kohan was a lot of fun. Are you watching the trailer right now?
No, I used like Command and Conquer on Steam, and I'm like, oh my god, how have I not typed this in the whole time I've had Steam? So
check it out before.
I'm checking it out right now. Command and Conquer Red Alert 3.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, so it looks cool so far, but I'm only 27 seconds into the video, so I shouldn't make a judgment like my mom would.
Buy it right now.
Yeah, but it's only $20. And hey, that's exactly what I paid for the one for the 64 when I bought it. $20, yeah.
I bet you now the one for the 64 is probably like quadrupled in price.
Yeah. The most expensive 64 game I bought was like $40.
Wow.
And trying to think what it was. Actually, I stole most of my games from my friends. I was one of those dudes.
Do you want to hear the stupidest thing I ever did on N64? This is like, it still haunts me to this day. So my cousin and I, we both had an N64, and we both had a lot of the same games, right? So we both had Donkey Kong 64, and we both had Super Smash Brothers, and we both had Pokemon Snap, and we both had Pokemon Stadium. And his N64 was at our grandma's house. So he used to come over to a grandma's house, and we used to play N64. And I was like, hey, we have all these doubles of games. We should sell them and then buy more games with the ones that we sell. So we went to a pawn shop and we sold like really, really good classic N64 games to buy new ones. And they didn't give us very much for these games, which probably worth like a ton of money now.
Yeah.
But we just sold them at this pawn shop to get a couple other ones. And we got ripped off really hard because we're just like two little kids trying to get more video games, and we got ripped off hard and lost probably a lot of money off of it.
I'm going to revise my last statement. It wasn't $40, it was $30. It was Mario Kart, that's what it was. Bought it, and it was $30. It's $30, and it was used. It was BS, yeah.
That's
but I didn't buy it, my mom did. So, not my money.
But Mario Kart.
Yeah, and then, but you know what, the amount of hours I put into any of my 64 games was like insane, so definitely got your money's worth back then.
Definitely. Full, like, Donkey Kong 64. Man, the amount of time. I would play that again. If I get my hands on that again, I would play it right now.
Donkey Kong 64?
You could probably download it on.
Yeah, it was on the Wii U. I downloaded it on the Wii U, and the camera controls made me want to throw my Wii U gamepad across the freaking room. Yeah, they were pretty bad.
They made the GameCube port. They need to make an N64 port. Give me that N64 controller.
Oh, they probably won't. They can't now, because Rare's got licensed with Microsoft.
Yeah, right there. But I mean, Nintendo still owns Donkey Kong. Cause I have all the Rare games for my Xbox. Like my Xbox, I have the whole Rare collection, but Donkey Kong's not on there.
Yep.
Sucks.
Yeah, totally. So I'm just gonna comment on this Command and Conquer Red Alert 3 trailer. They're like trying to sell the game with like sex symbols. So there's like all these girls standing there holding like all these guns. It's like, okay. they look like they've never held a gun before.
I'm looking it up right now too. If my thing would load.
Mind you, I've never held a gun before, because I'm a Canadian, so...
What?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? I'm a Canadian, and you've never held a gun before?
Actually, no, I'm lying. I'm totally lying. But another podcast.
Well, I grew up in this tiny little town, and, man, we used to go out shooting guns all the time. me and my buddies, we got shotguns and rifles and everything. Command and Conquer.
I don't think your RTS skills come in handy for that, though.
No, that's my first-person shooter skills. I'm totally joking.
Oh.
Playing first-person shooters does not make you good at shooting anything.
My mom's so good with a 12-gauge shotgun. She's, like, terrified of bears. So she's like, she just practices like all day long, and she'll just get bullseyes with slugs all day long. And I'll be like, "Mom, I think you're good." She'd be like, "No, man, I need to be ready for when a bear comes." And I'm like, "Just calm down." Like,
kind of bear are you talking about? She just shoots a black bear. Black bears?
No, we're talking about grizzlies.
Oh yeah. Oh man, that'd be funny. I got so many grizzly stories. Growing up on a little farm, I got so much good stuff. I haven't gotten to my new recent favorite. RTS yet, which is, if some of you guys have played it, I know some of you guys might be on board and some people might be like, oh no, but it's Total War Warhammer. That's my RTS choice.
I haven't played this one, so just tell me a little bit about it. Maybe whoever is listening and hasn't played it either can get filled in as well.
Definitely. So Total War is like a huge RTS creator. Like, they made like all over the place RTSs. I'm gonna look up some of them right now, but they made like let's see, Total War. I think Total War Warhammer is their big one. Oh yeah, Total War Rome, Total War Battle Kingdoms, Total War. They made like a China and the Warhammer. If anybody played Warhammer, that's like the game that you paint your figures, you put them all together, and you paint them, and you create the maps, and it's very strategic that you play. It's like when you go into a nerd shop and there's a bunch of people sitting around a giant castle with little action figures. That's Warhammer. And as a kid, that was like, I never played it, the board game, but I was so interested in it. So when they came out with Total War Warhammer, it's the tabletop game, but on your computer. So there's, and the game is massive, it's huge. So there's tons of factions in this huge map that you can play, and it's really complex. I don't suggest you start with Total War if you're kind of getting into RTS games and you want to know more about it. This is not one to start on. It's very thought out, and there's so much going on in kingdom upkeep and army building and even like army upkeep, like feeding and food and traveling and when to conquer and where to get your support from. There's and alliances and troops over this massive map. So it's if you're an RTS lover and you've been playing for a long time, definitely check this out. Because they're doing something that's really cool where, so they just released the second one. So there's Total War Warhammer, now there's Total War Warhammer 2, and you can play both of them together. So even though if you buy the first one and you buy the second one, it takes all the armies and all the expansions from the second one and puts them into the first game. Or I guess it takes everything from the first game and puts it into the second game. So in the second one, you get all the factions from the first one. You get the whole map, but it just adds it with the second map to make it even more grand. So, and there, it's actually going to be a trilogy, so they're going to make a third part, which is also going to connect to the first two. So you have to have a pretty beefy computer to run this humongous game, but it's fantastic.
And then, actually, talking about big, powerful computers, a lot of RTS games are going to the mobile side now. Just because there's a lot more. I mean, who does not have a phone besides my grandma? Let's be real.
And she probably has a phone.
Like her, her dog has a. Yeah, her dog has a phone, but she doesn't have a phone. Like
yeah.
But yeah. So a lot of RTS games are shifting to the mobile side, so that you don't need that $1,000 computer to run your game. And yeah, one I was talking about earlier was Clash of Clans. I've been playing Clash of Clans for like 5 years, and I've only spent $20.
Saving your money.
Yeah.
And they have enough money, I think.
Yeah. The only reason I actually spent $20, I was going on a cruise, so I didn't want people attacking my village for the week that I didn't have cell service, so I just bought a weak shield. But I needed to get the gems first, obviously. So, yeah, put down $20. Yeah, good stuff. Started upgrading my town hall at the same time to, like, town hall, level 5 at the time, I think it was.
Is there a way to get the gems without paying?
Yes.
Or do you have to pay in order?
Yes. So we were talking off the air. You haven't played Clash since... Did you play Clash when Clash Wars was a thing?
I played for about the first 2 years it was out, I played.
I can't remember when... Clash Wars turns 4, and this game came out in 2012, so it's 2018. So you probably just missed it. But anyways, yeah, so... they've if you clear out bushes in your base,
you get the green gems.
Sometimes you get gems, but now they've added a whole separate little thing called the builder base. So you hit a little boat, and then you go to a completely different map with completely different kind of mechanics. Like, it's the same kind of, it's the same principle in a way, but it's different at the same time. So there's a gem mine over there. I mean, it doesn't produce very many gems. Like, mine right now produces like 3 gems a day, but I mean, it's, you know,
it's better than zero gems for the whole time you're playing.
Yeah, exactly. And then they have clash games now, so they'll give you a certain amount of medals for completing a task. So, like, I just did one today. It's like loot 1,000,000 elixir in an hour. So I had to train up all my dudes, and then within an hour, loot 1,000,000 elixir, and I did it, and I got 300 medals for it. So then your whole clan contributes to getting all these medals. So the more medals you get bigger rewards. So they have some good ones now. So they have potions now where you can instantly complete a troop upgrade or a building upgrade or power up your barracks so that troops get pumped out faster for an hour and stuff like that. You can win cash prizes. So you can win like 1.2 million gold or elixir. There's gems. There's like a ton of stuff. So it's really, really, really easy to make loot in Clash of Clans now, which was my biggest complaint about it when I first started playing it 5 years ago, which is, it was really, really hard to save up money because you would farm for days and then you would get looted.
You'd farm for days and buy one thing and everything would be gone.
Yeah. So it's really easy to make loot now. Like, all four of my builders, like, I'm really high level. I'm Town Hall 11 and it's like 8 million gold to upgrade freaking anything. So, all four of my builders are always working. Like, I'm consistently making, like, ridiculous amount of money to be able to upgrade. Like, right now, I don't have a builder for, like, 4 days, and I have, like, 5 million gold. I'm like, what do I do with it? It's going to get looted.
I don't want to get looted.
So, yeah, no, Clash of Clans is a lot of fun. There's always this joke going around. It's like, oh, mobiles aren't real games. Mobile games. Like, my fiance is like, oh, I'm a gamer girl. I play like, Boom Beach. It's like, you're not a gamer girl. You just sit down right now.
That's funny.
So, yeah, no, I tried getting her into Halo, and we were finding through Halo 1, and then we got to Halo 2, first mission, and she was like, F this game, and she's like, I'm done. Walking away. But 2 was unforgiving as hell, so.
Oh, yeah. I feel like mobile games are good, because, you know, it gives more, these people who, how do you say it, like, don't have a console, you know, it's like my mom plays mobile games, or people who kind of, my mom doesn't look down on video games at all, like she doesn't care, but you know, people who were like, oh, video games are bad and corroding people's minds and stuff, you know, they're playing games on their phone, you know, it's I think it's a way for people to see a side of it that they wouldn't normally get to see, because they wouldn't go and buy an Xbox, so they don't have a PC that can run all of these big games, so they just play it on their phone. It's the same as playing it on anything, just on a smaller scale.
And yeah, that's kind of going back to what I said earlier too, is like, now you're targeting non-gamers, right? Like my fiance, for example, not a gamer, but she plays Heyday like she owns the farm and she's making her revenue from it. And it's like, I'm like, what do you get from it? She goes, oh, I just gotta finish all these tasks. And she's like super addicted to this game. It's ridiculous. I don't understand it myself, but I would just go out and actually farm for real, because then I at least get it at like breakfast in the morning, got a couple eggs, milk the cow, whatever. But
work over your hands, yeah.
Yeah, mobile is definitely where what's being targeted now to target non-gamers. So yeah, Boom Beach is another one. I played that for maybe a year and a bit, and then I kind of quit because
I never played Boom Beach. But speaking of going back to farming yourself and doing your own thing, I think out of all video games that you kind of play, I think RTS or strategy games are some of the best for thinking, or, you know, it's like, it's almost like doing puzzles, you know, like people who do crossword puzzles or Sudoku or anything like that. It's kind of like, it's that on a scale, or you can like play against other people because you have to outthink and out smart other people or even other AI. So I think it's one of the best games for keeping you sharp and keeping you on your toes. So that's why I like them so much, because when I play them, I feel like I'm actually accomplishing something, you know. Where when you play like Call of Duty, I know you don't like Call of Duty, but when you play like a multiplayer match of Call of Duty and you win a few, I just feel like you know, I just feel like, oh, I just played some Call of Duty. But if I conquer an entire kingdom and land, I just feel like I am the Lord.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying for sure. Like, even like I do play Call of Duty, but I've played it, and now I can say I don't like it. Whereas, yeah, you know, Heyday, I've never played it, but I don't like it. I don't, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to stay objective to COD because I've actually played it. But anyways, so yeah, games like COD or Halo or any other kind of FPS game, I guess, for now. Yeah, when you win the match, it's like about a 10-second gratification for yourself. You're like, yeah, man, I kicked ass in that round. Like, I got, you know, this many kills, and my KD's really good, or, oh, that kill I got was really cool. But yeah, when you, like, when you and I played Sea of Thieves yesterday, and we, like, completely wrecked those guys when they came back with the Skull Fort loot, like I went to bed, and I'm like, man, we kicked ass. And then in the morning when we got up, I was telling Brittany, my fiance, about it. I was like, yeah, man, me and Cole just wrecked these guys. And, yeah, so, like, even the gratification was way more than just, like, the little 10-second interval that you'd get at the end of, like, a COD match or a Halo match.
Yeah, I kept wanting to bring up, oh man, now I forgot what it was during your story, but there was another, Divinity 2. I feel like that's almost kind of a strategy game as well, just because of how difficult the AI is. But yeah, those games give you a lot of, what's the word? You feel good afterwards after playing.
Gratification.
You feel like you accomplished something. And
That's a turn-based game though, isn't it?
What's that?
Isn't that a turn-based game, Divinity 2?
It is a turn-based game. It's not a real-time strategy. It's like I don't even know what that would fall under.
Turn-based.
There is a lot of
RPG?
Strategy elements to it.
Turn-based RPG, probably.
Yeah, turn-based RPG. There it is. Yeah.
Oh,
turn-based
look
RPG.
Look at that.
Look at you figuring it out.
Yeah. I'm trying to think if there's anything coming out this year that.
I was telling you about Iron Harvest.
Yeah, that's right.
There's these game developers. Okay, so there's this artist. It's funny because I stumbled upon, well, some buddies of mine, they'll always go to board game. Like, we have some friends and we always play board games. It's like a board game night that we used to have. And so we used to always go to this nerdy board game shop, and they had this board game with really cool art on it. And I was like, man, I really like this art. It's kind of like a steampunk, but in how would you say, like, New America time. So it's very like Civil War era, but there's these big steampunk machines in this Civil War painting, and it's really beautiful on this game. And then I found the guy's art online, so I was looking up all of his pictures, really cool. And now these video game developers saw this guy's art, and they're like, we want to make an RTS based on his art, and it's called Iron Harvest. And these guys, just the way they talk about their game, I can't obviously recap too much of their trailer, but you should go check out the trailer for it. And they just talk about how much they care about the game and how much they're playing it to try to make it like more fun and more challenging. And they definitely want to hit the right things. They don't want to make this and miss and be missing something. They're trying to add in a little bit of everything to make it sound really fun. So Iron Harvest coming out. I'll find out when.
It's not. There's no release date yet. It just says 2018 for now. But
okay. Well, at least it's 2018. Yeah. But check out the art too. I really wish I knew. Is it by? I wish I knew the guy's name so I could plug him. But yeah, just go check out Iron Harvest and then see if you can find the guy on. I don't even know what sites there are. What are some drawing sites, like Pinterest or something?
Oh man, it's escaping me. Like everybody and their grandma's dog. Freaking,
Tumblr?
No, not Tumblr. It's Dividend Art.
Oh yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's it. See if you can find it. I just looked up Iron Harvest art, and I want to see if I can find the guy. But yeah, there's just some really cool, really really cool pictures that the guy is drawn. So, and check out the trailer for the game. It looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. And there's a development trailer too that just talks the creators talking about it. And it looks like it's going to be. Going to be a lot of fun if you're looking for new RTSs coming out.
Is the guy's name Jacob Rozalski?
Maybe. Jacob Rozalski?
Yeah. He's from the actual studio that's developing.
Yeah,
the game.
I think it's a younger guy who did it. I could be wrong.
Oh, though. Yeah, it is. It is him, because it says the real-time strategy game will be based on alternate history world created by Polish artist Jacob Rozowski.
Okay, yeah, then that's him, Jacob Rozowski. Oh, that's a funny way to spell Jacob.
It is really, I was going to say that. It's a really funny way to spell Jacob.
I'm looking up on ArtStation. I can't remember I think he's got his own website, but yeah, his art is just really cool, and it looks like it's going to be a fun RTS based on this guy's art is going to be just really awesome.
Yeah, I was I was just looking at that too. The image is really cool. It looks like a hand-painted image, and like, yeah, it looks really cool. It's very period dated too. It looks nice.
Yeah, very like Civil War, but it looks like there's like some Russian aspects to it as well, like a lot of snow and a lot of like the style, like the trench coat and the hats and the armbands are very
yeah. The only critique I would say about this picture is that dog kind of looks like a cat. I don't know, but it could go either way.
Are you looking at the bear one? The one where the chick's standing by the bear?
I'm looking at the one where she's standing beside the hayfield. It's like
I see what you mean, yeah.
Yeah, as soon as you type in Iron Harvest, that's the first thing that comes up.
That's, I think, the main picture that started everything was that one. It's a really cool picture, too.
Yeah, that mecha is cool.
Yeah, so the game looks like it's going to be a lot of fun coming to 2018, but yeah, so my recommendations for RTS is to check out. I'll go over them again so you can hear, but yeah, definitely Age of Empires 2 was really good. I played the third one as well, and the third one changed so much, kind of like Stronghold Crusader 2 and 1, but so I suggest Age of Empires 2, Stronghold Crusader, or any of the older Stronghold games are really great.
And sorry to cut you off, Age of Empires is actually probably one you should start with, because we have another Age of Empires coming out, I think. Age of Empires Definitive Edition. It says initial release date February 20th, 2018, but...
I think they're doing it. I don't know if that's an expansion or if that's a... Yeah, this looks like the original, too. It just looks like a buff-up of the original, just with some better graphics, and I think they're going to add some more stuff.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, there's a couple more coming up this year. One called Anno, I think that's how you say it. Anno 1800. It just says 2018. There's no set release date yet. Total War Arena, which already should be out. It came out on February 22nd, 2018. And Project Phoenix, which it doesn't have a release date as well. It just says 2018. So check those out.
Have a lot of RTSs coming out.
No, everyone, watch here. I'll type in mobile RTS games 2018, and we'll see what comes up. Because it'll be, oh yeah, there's top 25 RTS games coming out for, yeah. So there's, like I said earlier, it's all being, not ported, but pushed over to the mobile side, because they're going to get a way bigger player base. Because, let's be honest, when you got downtime at work, what are you going to do? You're going to play on your phone. No one wants no one's going to be... You're going to be either on Facebook or on YouTube or playing an RTS game, let's be real.
Definitely. So. Who was it? Was it Brooke that was talking about Jurassic World Evolution?
Brooks, yeah.
Yeah, it's like a tycoon with Jurassic Park, but it looks pretty fun. But I don't know if it's really my type of... It's categorizing it as an RTS under my upcoming RTSs. But it should be a fun strategy game to check out.
Totally. All right, I think we should wrap this up. You know what? Actually, I'm going to use that hashtag from earlier, hashtag Girls Unite. I think I'm going to get a shirt made for that, because we don't have enough female type shirts.
Oh, yeah. You want to get some ladies, just all lady listeners, tweet out for strategy games. Strategy?
Yeah. Pretty much any female gamer can out-strategize me, because I'm just an awful strategizer for RTS games. Like, even Clash of Clans, I'm just now, 5 years in, kind of starting to get it in terms of strategy, so...
Only 5 years?
Only 5 years.
If you gotta get an RTS, we'll play one. We'll get online, get one, and we'll play it.
Well, I'm looking at this Command & Conquer Red Alert 3, and I might check that out. So...
Yeah, bring back your roots. I think I still got it here open somewhere. Command & Conquer.
Command & Conquer. And... Is it multiplayer?
Let's find out.
Just looking. I can't really see. Oh my god, I can't play it. It's got violence in it.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, no, my mom will say no. So,
And
RTS. It says multiplayer, so I assume it's got something. So, browsing multiplayer. All right, guys. Thanks a lot for listening to our podcast, and let us know what you think on RTS games, the ones we've talked about or ones maybe we didn't mention.
And, yeah, I want to hear. I'm always looking for new RTSs. If we didn't mention one that you guys play, let us know so that I can check it out.
For sure. And female gamers, comment with hashtag female gamers unite, and we'll get a shirt pumped out here maybe in a week or so. And actually, we got a new shirt coming out. I texted it to you yesterday, Cole. What did you think of that?
Yeah, it looks awesome.
Yeah, it's it's gamer spirit. Spirit of a gamer. And it's a dude who has all the colors of the rainbow coming out, and then there's different game characters. It looks really cool. I'm going to get the file probably on Monday, and then we'll get it up on the shop here probably by Tuesday. So thanks a lot, guys. And yeah, let us know your comments on our Facebook page and stuff, and we'll see you all in the next one. Bye-bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
it. Coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.